sunny skies falling through the 60s. We'll have a sunny, chilly Saturday, 52. Sunshine a little warmer, 62 the afternoon on Sunday.
Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
A large selection of guns, hunting items, and fishing equipment. New and collectibles, knives, archery, and more at the Thibodeau Gun Show. 9 to 5 Saturday, 9 to 3 Sunday, January 13th and 14th. At the Warren J. Harang Jr. Municipal Auditorium, 310 North Canal Boulevard, Thibodeau. Free for all law enforcement in uniform or with ID. 12 and under free. For more info, go online. Click RRRevents.com.
Welcome to the 12th season of In the Red Zone, talking New Orleans Saints football. And now let's go to Premier Nissan at 6636 Veterans Boulevard, where Metairie meets Kenner, with your host, WGSO radio personality, Mitch Gibbs.
Okay, we're live here at WGSO Radio 990 AM. Mitch Gibbs here for another great show here at Premier Nissan at 6636 Veterans Boulevard. And we've got a great hour. We're going to talk Saints football, but we've got a breaking story, of course, with Nick Saban. So let's get to our first guest, who has been with us many times before. He is Glenn Gilbo with Outkick.com. So, Glenn, thanks for joining me this evening.
Hello. Hello, how are you? Happy New Year.
You're doing good, man. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Hey, Mitch.
Okay, so let's talk about, before we get to the Saints, the end of the season, there's some issues there, but I know you cover college football on a weekly basis, and, the story that Nick Saban, which I don't think was a big surprise, right, because there were rumors that this might be his last year. I thought he had said that this might be his last year if he wins the national championship, which didn't happen. So what are your thoughts on Saban's decision to retire today?
Well, he never said that. I said that in a column, and one of Nick's friends told me in September that he thought he was going to retire either this year or next year. But he is 72, so it can't be that much of a surprise. But I know a lot of people that cover Alabama didn't think it was going to happen. In fact, there was a guy, one of the editors from AL.com, was on the Feinbaum show today talking about how Nick was really recruiting hard in December and making more visits than he usually does. So that's not a guy that's leaving, but obviously he is. He was trying to leave a good class behind him, or who knows, maybe he made up his mind after that. But it's still a blockbuster story because he's been coaching for so long, and obviously around here he's the LSU coach, and he's just an icon. So it's really big news, and really it's for a guy who I try to be objective and cover college football on a national scale. It's really kind of sad because he's the best ever. A lot of character, a lot of integrity, no real NCAA scandals of any kind. It's a big change. Alabama's never going to be the same, really.
Well, a couple of questions come to mind here with this situation. I mean, we talked at the beginning of the season during the LSU football show all year, and a lot of people wanted to write him off like the last two or three years and said, because he didn't like the new rules with the transfer portal and the fact that you could transfer at least the first time without sitting out a year and then the NIL. And then there are advantages to other universities like Texas Texas A&M, where there's a lot more money than there is at the University of Alabama. So I guess that was part of it, I guess, right, that he wasn't happy with the new system. And he had been doing this for so long, and maybe he just got a little frustrated. But like you said, he was recruiting really well. He had a great class coming in next year. So how do you reconcile those two things, the fact that he wasn't really happy with the new state of the lay of the land in college football, yet he was still recruiting at a pretty high level?
Well, I mean, just because he didn't like something doesn't mean he didn't know how to still win at it. You know, he didn't like the substitution changes they made years ago that really hurt the defense. He railed against that and tried to get that stopped at the SEC meetings, but, you know, because that really helped the offense. So that changed him drastically. So what did he do? He hired Lane Kiffin and went to more of a passing game and won three more national championships. So, you know, he knew how to adapt to things, whether he liked them or not. But he definitely didn't like the portal because it took away a teaching method of the great coaches, because, you know, the players could just leave if they didn't like something, which it's really a ridiculous rule. And, you know, I think without the portal, he liked the concept of NIL. He liked the concept of players being compensated and paid, but he thought it was too unorganized, as do I, you know, the way it operates. They didn't study that enough. So those two things, if they didn't exist, he might have coached a couple of more years, because it made it a much harder job. You know, coaching in the NFL now is easier than coaching in college, because there's more breaks, you know. And at college now, it's 24/7. So I think that graded on him for sure.
I guess the next question, of course, is who his successor would be. You talk about some of the guys who've done really well. You know, like you could talk about his coordinators. Kirby Smart, but he seems to have a really nice situation at Georgia. You think about Dabo Sweeney, who played in the 90s, early 90s, on Alabama's football team. He's had a lot of success, and it seems like Clemson is starting to adjust to the new rules. To me, the name that sticks out, who a guy who has no hesitation with leaving a job, is Lane Kiffin, and he coached there as a coordinator. So what are your thoughts on who the successor might be?
If I was Greg Byrne, the Alabama athletic director, I would go after Lane Kiffin for sure, because there's a guy who was an assistant at Alabama, the offensive coordinator who turned the program around, and then he left and has done great at Ole Miss. Now, you know, he might not fit the image of Alabama. You know, Lane's kind of young and wild and you know, kind of crazy or whatever at times, but you know, I would, that can, you know, that's not that big a deal. And, you know, Lane is more mature now than he was 10 years ago. And, you know, that the job might become him, if you will. And he could change with the job. So that's who I would go for. You know, at one time Dabo was a great candidate, but he doesn't like the NIL and the portal either. and you know, he's slipped. He has slipped in recent years. Plus, he's also, you know, he's also got kind of a reputation as being a little nutty himself. But he is an Alabama guy. But he's not as hot a candidate as he was. I think I would go after Lane big time. That would be a natural move for him. Otherwise, you know, I'm not really sure where they're going to look, you know, because, boy, that's you know, how do you follow Nick Saban? That's the ultimate challenge.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And I would just say that I can't think of anybody else right now, really, that would be in the mix. I mean, you know, I don't have to really think about this because this just came about. We only have like a minute or two left, but I want to ask you a Saints question. What are your expectations in terms of changes? Obviously, it seems like Dennis Allen's going to stay. They might make a couple of cosmetic changes in the coaching staff and then the players. What are your thoughts on where they go during the offseason?
1 minute.
Well, if you're going to run up the score, you need to not do the victory formation, okay? That's the first.
Right.
It's okay to run up the score against Atlanta, but don't do the three formation, okay? But I think Dennis definitely needs to find a new offensive coordinator. They need to make a change there. Pete Carmichael's done a good job for a long time, but they need to move on from there, and probably some other offensive changes. I would say defense is good, but they need to get younger there.
No question. Hey, yeah, we got to roll, but it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me on this evening, Glenn.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take our first break. We're going to be back with Gary Smith. We're live here at Premier Nissan, talking Saints football, Little Alabama as well, with Nick Saban's decision to retire after 17 years, Alabama. But we'll be back live for the next segment here. Premier Nissan, 6636 Barron's Boulevard, where Mary meets Kenner. They're open every day, 9 to 9, except for Sunday. We'll be back right after these messages.
Chiropractic Care is one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, it's easy to start your road to recovery. At Doctors Rehab Service, we'll even do all the work with your insurance company and attorney to get you the care you really need.
For a free consultation or to get more information, call Doctors Rehab Services at 504-465-5553.
Call me, Dr. T.
The following is a paid endorsement.
Jeff Ostrom, Jeff Ostrom.
He's a man of integrity. Attorney.
Choosing your attorney can be a life-changing decision. Chip Forstall has over 28 years of experience, giving you the personal attention that you need. If you or a loved one has been injured, you need a lawyer to protect you, your family, and work to get compensation for your injuries. Contact the law office of Chip Forstall today, located at 320 North Carrollton Avenue, New Orleans, or call us at 483-3400. That's 483-3400. Or log on to www.chipforstall.com today. You need caring, aggressive, and effective representation. You need personal attention. You need Chip Forstall.
Chip Forstall. Chip Forstall. He knows the law. Chip Forstall.
I'm Dan Mills, CEO of the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans. As the voice of the residential housing industry in Southeast Louisiana for over 80 years, we're your home team when it comes to providing trusted advice and professional service. As with any organization, teamwork is the key. Our members benefit from education, advocacy, and networking, all designed to help you achieve your American dream of owning a home. For more information, to find a builder, or to become a member, visit us at hbagno.org.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related health care. Call them today at 504-821-2574.
We're back here live on WGSO Radio here in New Orleans talking Saints football. We've got this story with Nick Saban retiring as well, but talking Saints as well here. Here at Premier Nissan, 6636 Veterans Boulevard, where Mary meets Kenner. Here, they're open every day, 9 to 9, except for Sunday. My next guest with the Advocate is Gary Smith. So, Gary, thanks for joining me this evening.
Glad to be on the show.
All right, so let me start with the Nick Saban retirement, which I don't think was a complete surprise. And we've been talking all season about how he's been a little bit frustrated with the new rules, with the NIL, and also with the transfer portal. And although he seemed to adapt pretty well this year, and they, you know, wherever you want to debate whether they should have been in there, they played Michigan a good football game, mm-hmm. who ended up winning the national championship. But I think that was part of his decision. right? Sure. He's been doing this 17 years. He's had a lot of success, as much as success as anybody. And I think he just felt like it was time to move on. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And, you know, my last guest and I kind of agreed that Lane Kiffin, you would think, would be the primary candidate. And you would also think that Lane Kiffin would have no hesitation in leaving. He's done it like three times at other jobs. So I want to get your thoughts on Saban's retirement. And who do you think would be the possible success?
Yeah, well, first of all, the most interesting thing to me is that the story was broken first by somebody by a fan on an Auburn message board earlier today, and the fan was totally made fun of as like this typical fan freak, saying that he'd heard that there was going to be a 4 p.m. press conference, 4 p.m. team meeting today, where Nick Saban was going to announce his retirement. So occasionally the fans on those message boards turn out to know more than any of the rest of us. But you're right, I don't think it's a huge surprise. He's been doing this for a long time in an incredibly successful way. He doesn't like the way the game is going. The game's changing a lot next year too, with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC with the 12-team playoff. It just seemed like the right time for him. I don't actually agree on the Lane Kiffin thing. I think Lane Kiffin's a good coach, but I think he's considered too much of a powder keg and a jerk by Alabama people and a crazy decision maker during games a lot of times. Alabama, I think, will take a more conservative route than Lane Kiffin. I don't have a name for you. I think it's going to be, no matter who gets the job, it's going to be tough, obviously. You don't ever want to follow a legend. That's never a good thing. There's almost no examples of a coach following a legend and having the same success. What you want to be is the coach that follows the coach that follows the legend. So I'm going to be really interested in where Alabama goes with this job.
And you know, I would agree with you in the sense that I would like, as not being a big Alabama fan, I would not mind Lane Kiffin, because I agree his play calling is kind of very perplexing at times. I think a couple of years ago, he had Alabama beat. He was running the ball right through him. He stopped running. And he threw it. He lost the game. He's had other games as well. So I agree with you on that. That, you know, that would be, if you're not an Alabama fan, you would love to see Lane Kiffin. But we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. We'll have more time to talk about that. Let me ask you, there's a couple of things with the Saints. Obviously, disappointing that, you know, you had one of the easiest schedules in NFL history. Yeah. It's going to be more difficult next year. Even though you finished well the last two games, you're 9-8, you didn't make the playoffs. So we got that issue, and then we've got what happened at the end of the game. And I think that, I'm not a Jameis Winston fan. He had three opportunities to really do something, and if he would have done well in one of those situations, the Saints would have been the playoffs. They probably would have won the division. And so when he does this thing as well, I think he's gone. I think he's probably gone from the Saints. But I don't think Dennis Allen's response was great either. That didn't help the situation. So give me your analysis of that whole situation at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think the whole thing's overblown. I think the issue is what you started with. The Saints had one of the easiest schedules of all time and didn't make the playoffs. And I take issue with people who feel like you've heard me many times on Dennis Allen. I'm not a Dennis Allen fan. But I really just don't think the team was that good this year. They absolutely should have made the playoffs with the schedule they were in. They had, but this is a team that had one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL and couldn't block people. And when those two things are true, you're not a good football team, and it doesn't bode well for the Saints next year. So I don't feel like if the Saints had a better coach in place, that this team would have won a lot more games this year. I just don't think it's a very good team. And I think that's going to be borne out next year. And Dennis Allen, if Dennis Allen won't be back after next year, unless they do something that I don't expect to see happen against a much tougher schedule. On the other thing, look, I actually don't have a problem with Dennis Allen's response, because I think way too many people are – he was true to himself. The people that think that he should have come out and said that Atlanta should basically just eat it and try to stop him if they could – he would have been a complete phony if he'd done that, because that's not who he is. These people want him to be the kind of a-hole that they are personally, and he's not that guy. And he was angry at his team for that, and that was his honest opinion. So I don't have a problem with it. And I think there's a disconnect between him and some of his players. I think that was clear earlier this year, but I don't think this thing had much of anything to do with it. They just wanted to get Jamal Williams a touchdown, which I find bizarre, because this guy did not have a good year at all. He was a big he's supposed to be one of the best players on the team, coming from Detroit, didn't have a touchdown. But I kind of think that whole incident, in terms of where Dennis Allen is and whether he's lost the team and when all that, I don't even think any of that matters. What matters is the Saints didn't win the division with a ridiculously easy schedule.
Well, I'll say this. I agree with you. Dennis Allen is an honest guy. He's a nice guy. And I think he was being really honest. But I think all he should have just said was, I had a private conversation with the Atlanta coach, and it's been resolved, or something like that. And any other issues is between myself and the team. And, you know, he would be a little bit dishonest, but at least he would be just, I think it would have mitigated the situation a little bit. But I agree with you, he was being honest. But the other thing is, I do agree with you in the sense that the blame to me is more on management decisions, you know, whether it's the kicker or spending all this money on Derek Carr, even though Derek Carr looked pretty good at the end of the season, or some of the personnel, especially on defense. My only criticism of Dennis Allen was I thought sometimes the tackling was not great by the Saints, and he's a defensive guy, he's a defensive coordinator. So that would be my only issue with that. But other than that, the bigger picture, I think, is management decisions. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I just don't think it's a very good football team. They couldn't run. They were the only team in the NFL that didn't have a running back gain 80 yards in a game all year. And Cam Jordan had 2 sacks for the year. Even in the game they won against the Falcons, they weren't getting any pass pressure. And you cannot win in the NFL against good teams if your offensive line is struggling to block people and your defensive line is struggling to get to the quarterback. And look, every year is different in the NFL. Teams can change even with the same personnel sometimes. So I'm not saying it's a lock that they're going to be in trouble next year, but I sure can't imagine that they're going to finish 9-8 next year playing a much tougher schedule and without a serious upgrade in personnel, which is going to be hard to do with their salary cap situation.
Well, let me just leave you on this this question. Let you go. What players do you see not being on the team next year? Because you've heard Lattimore.
Yeah.
I think that one of the reasons I think why Winston did this, because I think Winston knew he was gone anyway. I know they restructured his contract to save some dead money, but I think he's going to be gone anyway. I think this kind of makes it a finality. And then, you know, there's an issue whether Kamara could be traded. And so what are your thoughts on that in the next minute or two? What do you think? Who do you think's not going to be on the team next year?
Certainly, Thomas won't be back. He ended any possibility with his divisive tweets during the game about Derek Carr several weeks ago. I agree with you about Jameis Winston. I would be careful with Marshawn Lattimore. A lot of people I respect think that he shouldn't be back. When he was healthy this year, he played pretty well. And yes, they're deep at cornerback, but that's a position in the NFL. You really can't have enough good cornerbacks because they're going to get injured. And when you don't have good cornerbacks, you're not stopping anyone. So I'd be careful on that one. Same thing, Alvin Kamara did not have a great year this year, but he was certainly by far their best running back, and they better have if they want to move on from him, they better have a plan in place to figure out how they're going to be able to run the ball next year.
No question. Hey, Gary, it's always a pleasure. Great to talk to you again. Have a great night. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks for having me on.
I think that was Gary Smith. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back. Second half of the show, we got Scott Shanley. He played on the Super Bowl Saints team in 2009. That seems like ages ago. Ex-linebacker, great guy, always in the press box. We have good conversations. And then we're going to wrap it up with Patricia Caputo, timely enough, because I was going to ask her about LSU going forward next season. She can address that issue of course, the fact that Nick Saban will no longer be on the sidelines facing LSU next year when they come to Baton Rouge. So anyway, we're going to take our break, and we'll be back here live for the second half of the show here at Community Sun, 6636 Veterans Boulevard, where Metairie meets Kenner. They're open 9-9 every day but Sunday. We'll be back with the second half of the show in our 12th season in the Red Zone, talking Saints football right after these messages.
Tell your DA, pick up the phone, we're on the way. DA Exterminating.
We offer complete pest and termite control featuring the Centricon system. DA Exterminating Company, 800-650-PEST.
DA.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related health care. Call them today at 504-821-2574.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone, talking about my good friend Bob and Parish Coffee, which started in 2018 and provides quality coffee at an affordable price. Try their medium roast, dark roast, chicory coffee, decaf coffee, and southern pecan. They are all handcrafted with a great taste to wake you up to a beautiful morning and are available at local roasters including Robert's, Rouse's, Bromart, Langenstein's, Conseco's, and Doranac.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Tico Fox. Stunning news in the world of college football as Alabama head coach Nick Saban has decided to retire. The 72-year-old has won 7 national titles, 6 at Alabama and 1 at LSU in 2003. Some say this past season was one of his greatest coaching jobs as he led the Crimson Tide to the college football playoffs. Crawfish fans might want to start a savings account and prep for a much smaller platter this year. Brooke Thorington explains.
It's going to be the worst season ever as far as crawfish supply. Yeah, it's going to be record high prices.
LSU Ag Center crawfish specialist Mark Shirley says the 2023 drought has devastated mudbug season.
I've talked to farmers that run 1,500 traps and they're only catching 20 pounds of crawfish. One crawfish every 2 or 3 traps.
And next week's freeze could only slow development even more. He says supply is definitely going to be down and expect a later season. I'm Brooke Thorington,
LouisianaRadioNetwork.com.
Throw me something, mister!
I got you. Beads, doubloons, and music. Down here, it's all part of carnival season. Come get a taste of Mardi Gras and celebrate this season by playing $1 King Cake Crew from the lottery. Win up to
$2,000. $2,000? Let the good times roll!
That's right. Or join the parade with your crew and play $2 My Mardi Crew with the top prize of a whopping $14,000. Dance to the beat of the drums and kick off your Mardi Gras season with King Cake Crew and My Mardi Crew from the lottery. Win up to $14,000. There's no season like Mardi Gras and nothing like the Mardi Gras scratch-offs from the lottery. Pick up yours today at any lottery retailer. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
Before you pay that other pest control company their, quote, home of the $650 termite treatment protection plan, call DA. I'm Jed Derensburg with DA Exterminating, and I bet we can beat that price. We offer different treatment methods featuring the Centricon bait system, and we have one of the best termite protection plans in the country. Before you pay $650 to another company, call DA. New Orleans metro area, North Shore, and Houma. DA Exterminating, complete pest and termite control services since 1959. Call 800-650-PEST.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain from a recent car accident? Have you gone to the emergency room to have them tell you there's nothing wrong? Hi, I'm Dr. Steven Tremuto with Doctors Rehab Services, and chiropractic care is one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, it's easy to start your road to recovery. At Doctors Rehab Service, we'll even do all the work with your insurance company and attorney to get you the care you really need.
For a free consultation or to get more information, call Doctors Rehab Services at 504-465-5553.
Call me, Dr. T.
I'm Dan Mills, CEO of the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans. As the voice of the residential housing industry in Southeast Louisiana for over 80 years, we're your home team when it comes to providing trusted advice and professional service. As with any organization, teamwork is the key. Our members benefit from education, advocacy, and networking, all designed to help you achieve your American dream of owning a home. For more information, to find a builder, or to become a member, visit us at hbagno.org.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here live at Premier Nissan, here Mitch Gibbs here. It's our 12th season of talking Saints football in the red zone. And my next guest has been along with me several times this year, former Saints linebacker Scott Shanley. So Scott, thanks for joining me this evening.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, so you know, there was a lot of talk about the way the game ended. You played for several years, and I just want to get your general thoughts on not only the fact that the Saints scored the touchdown, but then the coaches, Dennis Allen's comments after in the press conference.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was an odd game because it was the best game the Saints have played all year, obviously against a hated rival, and Mason came out, you could kind of hear the crowd groan, like, no, let's score again on Atlanta. And then they ran the play. And so it was as happy as the fan base has probably been all year. And when you found out that it wasn't actually called to play, I understand why Dennis apologized, because, you know, in coaches, it is a coach's fraternity. There's a code of conduct. I think he would have been better off just coming out and running a play. But like Dennis said, it wasn't his intention to score again there. I think, as a coach, you apologize to the other coach, but I don't know if I would have came out and quite handled the press conference that way, because in the end, all you do is you the fans choose the player side, or the fans choose the coach's side. And we've had so much divisiveness this year in the organization on multiple fronts that it was a shame to see the season end that way, because like I said, it was one of the more positive games of the year. In my personal opinion, I understand, as a player, you want to be good to your teammate. But I've also made the point that Jamal had 17 games to score a touchdown all year, and it's kind of a cheap touchdown. I don't know, as a player, if I would really remember that touchdown very much. So as a player, I'm not a fan of it, because I think it sends a bigger message to the younger players on your team that you don't need to follow instructions from your head coach.
Yeah, and I would just say that I agree with you when you say that it should have been more of a private matter, where I think Dennis should have just said, look, I had a nice conversation with the Atlanta coach, and that was it. And I'm not going to talk about it again. I think that would have been a better way to handle it. But, you know, the media loves to jump on things like that, especially the national media, because you're hearing Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp, you know, they were going all on Dennis Allen about the way he handled it. But, you know, they're just loudmouth guys talking and trying to get ratings and all that stuff. So, you know, you don't listen to that kind of stuff. But anyway, the bigger picture, of course, is the fact that they had a very easy schedule and did not make the plus, even though they looked good in the last couple of games. And so when you think about that, you know, that's almost like the worst-case scenario, right, Scott? Because your draft position is worse now, and you don't make the playoffs. So it's like you know, you never want to finish like 500 or a little above 500 and not make the playoffs, because then you draft in the middle of the rounds. And so anyway, that's something you're going to have to deal with. What do you expect change-wise in terms of coaches and player personnel going into next year?
Yeah, I definitely think there's going to be changes. You know, offensively and defensively, there will be some assistant coaches changes. I'm not sure how far those will go as far as, like, coordinators, but there will definitely be position coach changes. It just happens every year in the NFL. There's certain things that you want to improve, fundamental schemes, ideas that you would rather see, techniques that you would rather see implemented at certain positions. So that's going to happen. There's definitely going to be change with personnel. And, you know, I think you see a little bit of this team, because there's an interesting dynamic in this team where there's still a lot of Sean Payton guys, and there's starting to be some Dennis Allen guys who got drafted by Dennis. And so there's an elite there. And I think you may see a couple of Sean Payton guys that you didn't expect to be out of here, probably out of here, whether it's trade or release. And the great sign is you look at the last couple games of the year, and the future stars, the future starters, whether or not Michael Thomas is back, Lattimore, all those, I don't know. But I also know that the young guys, the way they played at the end of the year, certainly made that choice easier for the organization. Perry played his best game in the last game of the year. You look at Miller at running back, looked really good. It was the most we've got to see him all year. He was very explosive and made some nice plays, made some guys miss. And Juwan Johnson played a heck of a game last week or 2 weeks ago against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think the encouraging thing for me is all those young guys, the future, the guys who have been drafted within the past couple of years, really stepped up and I think are going to make some of the other guys who probably don't think they're expendable, I think they're going to be expendable in the offseason.
I think that's a great point because we're talking, a lot of people are talking about, you know, guys like obviously Jameis Winston, I mean, not as important as a backup, and then Mike Thomas and maybe even trading Kamara potentially. With the Kendra Miller performance, you know, would it gives that a little bit of light, I guess you would say, because really, like you and I have talked like the whole season, and one of the biggest problems the Saints had was running the ball. I mean, I just heard a stat where they never had – nobody ran for more than 80 yards in a game this year for the Saints, and that's amazing when you brought Jamal Williams in, who had a good year with Detroit. Kendra Miller is a very a good prospect, and, of course, Kamara is a very good running back, maybe towards the latter part of his career. So would you agree with me that the running game was really the big issue this year, regardless of whether you think it was the quality of the backfield or the offensive line, which has to improve next year?
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I think when you look at this season, and there were different weeks, different months where there was a strength of the team and there was a weakness. You know, Derek Carr played as good as any quarterback in the league the last past month of the year. But in the middle of the season, he was as bad as there was in the league. You look at the offensive line early in the year, they were horrible. Then they got way better towards the end of the year. And that happened at a lot of different spots. But I think the one thing that kind of is lying in the weeds, if you look from week one through the week 18, what wasn't very good and never got very good was the running game. The running game was not good enough to win meaningful games. And I say that because, you know, a lot of these games that they lost this year, the one possession games, or you look at if this play would have went this way, you could have won. A lot of those games wouldn't have been games if you could have just ran the ball, if you could have controlled the clock, if you could have wore teams down. And the running game just was not good enough. And to your point, and you look at the numbers, when you're not rushing the ball and winning the time of possession battle the way you want to, and then you can turn around and play good defense, that's a problem. So, yes, I agree. You look at Alvin. Alvin's still a really good player, especially out of the backfield. I love him catching the ball out of the backfield. You don't quite see breaking as many tackles. The first man, the first couple of years of Alvin in the league, you never saw the first man tackle him. I think you're starting to see the first man tackle him a little bit more. And listen, he's going to his eighth year in the league. If somebody throws a second or third round pick at the Saints in the offseason, do the Saints jump on that? So it's a realistic conversation, and I think the way Miller played against the Falcons makes that a little bit more of a discussion.
And Jamal Williams didn't have a great year either. I know he had a good year last year in Detroit, especially in close, you know, close near the goal line. We had many, many rushing touches, but he wasn't what they expected, obviously. So they're going to have to, and if they do trade Kamara, they're going to have to make sure they have somebody else, you know, beyond Kendra Miller and Jamal Williams. Otherwise, they're going to run into the same issues they did last year. So I guess that's, there'll be a lot of things to think about during the offseason for the Saints, a lot of decisions they need to make.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on Jamal. I know Jamal is an outstanding teammate. The guys loved him in the locker room. He was a fantastic locker room hire. Disappointing on the field. He was banged up a lot. Yes, he led the league in rushing last year. But, you know, you always kind of – you get concerned. If you feel like you got a steal in free agency, what you always need to do is go back and think, why did the team not sign them? Why did the team he just came from not sign him? And so anytime you lead the league in rushing and your former team says, nah, we're good, we're going to sign somebody else, I think that's a little bit of a concern. Jamal is definitely a short yardage back. I think we can all see he doesn't have the wiggle, the explosiveness, even when you paired him with Miller. You saw that burst that Miller had that Jamal just doesn't have. So he's probably more of a short yardage back. But, yeah, you got a lot of other positions. Chris Olave, he needs to continue to improve his game. He's still the number one receiver on the team. There's no doubt about that. But Rashid Shaheed, what a find he was making the Pro Bowl this year, and his ability to take tops off these defenses. I think the Saints are in a really good spot offensively. When you look at those skill positions, Olave, Rashid Shaheed, you look at Juwan Johnson, the young tight end, who's a good mismatch. They're going to have to get more depth in the O-line. I think they can still get another pass rusher on defense. And then you can never have enough guys who can cover in the secondary. Listen, if anybody's looked at the schedule, yes, we talked about it this year. This schedule is set up perfect to win the NFC South, certainly, and have an 11-win season. But going into next year, you better have some guys who can cover because you're playing Herbert, you're playing Mahomes, you're playing a plethora of good quarterbacks. So next year defensively is going to be a little bit different story where you better have guys who can cover.
No question. That is going to be a much more difficult schedule. So we'll see how that plays out. Hey, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Scott. Thanks for joining me this evening.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, man. All right, so that was Scott Shanley. Good stuff from a guy who won a Super Bowl with the Saints in 2009 in the linebacker position, and he knows defense really well, but he knows the team, and he saw all the games, of course, this year. So we're glad to have more. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to have Patricia Caputo on, and we're going to get her thoughts on, the Saints season, but also LSU. And the Nick Saban retirement after 17 years at Alabama to see who she thinks might take his place, his successor, and then what impact that might have on LSU next year. The fact that they're not going to have to go first of all, they're going to be home against Alabama, and they're home against Oklahoma, so that's great. But also the fact that they won't have to face Nick Saban again. That'll be it. They will not face Nick Saban again. So, all right, final break live here at Premier Nissan, 6636 Veterans Boulevard. They're open every day, 9 to 9, except Sunday. We're Metairie Meets Canada, right off the I-10 exit. 12th season in the red zone, talking Saints football. We'll be back for the final segment of the show live right after these messages.
This is Jed Derensburg with DA Exterminating Company. Here's our jingle. Hope it bugs you.
DA Exterminating, the real DA is on the way. Say your home's got fleas or home's got bugs. Crawling in your walls or on your rugs. Say no to bugs, tell your DA, pick up the phone, we're on the way. DA Exterminating.
We offer complete pest and termite control featuring the Centricon system. DA Exterminating Company, 800-650-PEST.
DA.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related health care. Call them today at 504-821-2574.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain from a recent car accident? Have you gone to the emergency room to have them tell you there's nothing wrong? Hi, I'm Dr. Steven Tremuto with Doctors Rehab Services, and chiropractic care is one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, it's easy to start your road to recovery. At Doctors Rehab Service, we'll even do all the work with your insurance company and attorney to get you the care you really need.
For a free consultation or to get more information, call Doctors Rehab Services at 504-465-5553.
Call me, Dr. T.
Following is a paid endorsement.
He's a man of integrity. Want to be attorney.
Choosing your attorney can be a life-changing decision. Chip Forstall has over 28 years of experience, giving you the personal attention that you need. If you or a loved one has been injured, you need a lawyer to protect you, your family, and work to get compensation for your injuries. Contact the law office of Chip Forstall today, located at 320 North Carrollton Avenue, New Orleans, or call us at 483-3400. That's 483-3400. Or log on to www.chipforstall.com today. You need caring, aggressive, and effective representation. You need personal attention. You need Chip Forstall.
Chip Forstall. Chip Forstall. He knows the law.
Chip Forstall.
I'm Dan Mills, CEO of the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans. As the voice of the residential housing industry in Southeast Louisiana for over 80 years, we're your home team when it comes to providing trusted advice and professional service. As with any organization, teamwork is the key. Our members benefit from education, advocacy, and networking, all designed to help you achieve your American dream of owning a home. For more information, to find a builder, or to become a member, visit us at hbagno.org.
All right, we're back here for the final segment of the show. We'll be back on Friday, of course, to talk more about the future of the New Orleans Saints. But I want to thank all my great guests. We've had Glenn Gilbo with AdSafe.com, Gary Smith with The Advocate, Scott Shanley, former Saints Super Bowl champion from 2009. I want to thank all the great people there from Premier Nissan, Craig Collins and Donald as well here. We're live here. We've been live here twice a week here since the beginning of the football season. 6636 Veterans Boulevard, we're Metro League Canada, but 99 every day except Sunday. And we're talking Saints football, but also a little college football as well with the announcement of Nick Saban retiring. And I want to just say this. Nick Saban was 292-71-1 as a head coach. Remember, he was at Michigan State. You know, he was at LSU. He was at Alabama. The fact that he won 16 years in a row, he won 10 or more games at least at Alabama, never had a losing record. But he also had 44 first-rounders. So my argument is Nick Saban was maybe a better recruiter than a football coach, because when you have 44 guys drafted over the years in the first round of the NFL, which is the cream of the crop, first round is supposed to be starters generally in the NFL. It doesn't surprise me that he won 6 national championships at Alabama. So I kind of feel like, you know, I don't want to say that Saban's, you know, not a great coach, but I mean, it makes it a lot easier when you've got your second string players that are probably better than most of the teams you play their first string players. So people need to think about that kind of stuff, but give them credit. He recruited all these guys, and all these guys stayed around as long as they could for him. But anyway, that's just my thoughts. We got Patricia Caputo with us, who's been on many times with us here with Tiger TV. So, Patricia, thanks for joining me this evening.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, especially with this breaking news that happened.
Yeah, no, that was great timing to have you on. And, you know, I was on my little soapbox there, but, you know, I've never been a big, you know, I'm not anti-Alabama football. Obviously, I'm an SEC LSU guy, but I got aggravated at times with LSU people not, you know, seeming like, our SEC people seeming to pull for Alabama when LSU was not in the mix, because it didn't help LSU that they had to recruit against a guy who's one of the greatest coaches of all time and keeps winning national championships. So I was like, I don't want Alabama to win. It makes it harder for LSU and whoever the LSU coach's job as well. But LSU did beat them a few times. And I think, Patricia, most LSU people are probably thinking tonight, we finally don't have to deal with this guy anymore. And it's like almost like a sigh of relief. So I wanted you to give your thoughts. I don't think it was really a big surprise, because they said Saban had been really unhappy with the new rules with the NIL and the transfer portal as well. So you knew this was coming relatively soon, maybe not necessarily this year. But anyway, I want to get your thoughts on the fact that he made this decision today.
Right. I think this is a perfect time for him to go out. This is an end of an era for college football in general, and it just seems to make sense that the best college football coach to ever do it is also retiring at that time. LSU fans were ecstatic, as from what I was seeing on social media. They were throwing parties saying, this is a great way to start my new year. They don't have to play Nick Saban anymore. But also, LSU fans have to remember that Nick Saban created a foundation for LSU football. He won that championship for them back in 2003. Again, talking about the recruiting, like you had mentioned, Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark was on that team, went on to the NFL, and that's just to name a few who are still have a prominent presence here at LSU. But I think some fans are forgetting that he also won a ring there, and that, again, he's the reason why they were able to bring in other coaches and just, again, start that foundation and say, we are LSU, we are back. And what he was able to do at Alabama was amazing. And I think recruiting has a lot to do with that, but also him as a head coach, him as a person. Kids wanted to play for Nick Saban. It wasn't so much they played for Alabama. I think the same thing could happen if Nick Saban stayed at LSU. They wanted to play for the coach. They didn't really want to play for the school on their name, but they knew what Nick Saban can do and what they could do for what he could do for their career. And that's why they decided to make the decision and play for a coach who was as great and as talented as Nick Saban.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing, too, was, and some people said they might have misread a little bit about the way this was going, because he was recruiting really hard even in December. Maybe he knew that he had probably made the decision probably right after the last game and the Georgia game, and he knew he had gotten to the Final Four. But he got a lot of people were really unhappy at Florida State. They thought got shafted. So he heard a lot of that chatter. He probably didn't like that, because some people thought that Alabama shouldn't have been in the Final Four, regardless of the fact that they played Michigan a good football game. So they probably didn't like that. Didn't like the new rules, like you talked about. He talked about that. many times he talked about the fact that he didn't like the rules in terms of you know, the offensive substitutions, which hurt defense a little bit, which he didn't like. There was a lot of rules that had changed that he didn't like as well. But maybe he did set the table, like you said, for LSU, for Alabama, recruiting hard, because Alabama is a really good recruiting class coming in. But, Patricia, the question is, how many of those players now that committed are now going to get, say, you know what, we thought Nick Saban was going to be a coach, now we're going to have somebody else?
And that will be all about who they hire, because I think Nick Saban did that because he's smart. He says he wants to leave another legacy for Alabama. It wasn't just, it's kind of like what Jaden Daniels said about 2 months ago when he said, I don't want to be the only quarterback that comes out of LSU and there's no one to follow me. I think Nick Saban's kind of thinking the same thing. I'm sure he gave a warning to Alabama. I wouldn't be surprised if they already have 3 or 4 guys who they're ready to say, we're ready to hire them, right? We're going to start the interview process. This is obviously how college football works. And again, it's going to be those kids, whether how fast they want to act. I'm assuming most of them will say, let's see and wait who the head coach is. And then it will be that head coach needing to immediately encourage those players and say, I know I'm not Nick Saban. I know I'm not, again, one of the greatest coaches of all time, but we can still build a winning football team with who we have. And that's why Alabama just has to be careful with who they hire and the skill set that he has at taking after someone like Nick Saban.
Yeah, so it's not easy to follow legend. And most coaches that follow legends have not been that successful, but we'll see how that goes. Last few minutes, Nussmeier looked good for LSU in their bowl game. I know they were playing Wisconsin, and I always take that with a grain of salt, nothing against Wisconsin, but you're facing not a team with a lot of team speed when you play a team like Wisconsin. They're not one of those Big Ten teams that has a lot of speed like maybe a Michigan or Ohio State or maybe even a little bit Penn State. So what's your evaluation of Nussmeier in the bowl game, and also what does that mean in terms of next year quarterback at LSU and whether they're going to hit the transfer portal to have another quarterback to compete with Nussmeier?
Yeah, I think what he showed against Wisconsin, it was a battle. Say what you want. You could say, oh, well, they didn't have the season you might be expecting in terms of Wisconsin, but they still battled out against LSU. I know LSU didn't have Jaden Daniels, so it was a little different, and we know the defensive struggles, but Garrett Nussmeier went out there and proved that he can be a leader. He still threw for 395 yards. The big thing with Jaden Daniels was he can't throw the long ball. Garrett can, and Garrett proved that he can still throw the long ball. What I like about Garrett Nussmeier with LSU is that he's been here. He's been here for a few years. You're not bringing in a new guy where you have to teach him everything again. He's been under Brian Kelly, played under behind a Heisman winner, things of that nature. But also you have Bryce Underwood, who's that freshman. If you need him to come in, I don't think they're going to go out and get a dominant quarterback from the transfer portal. But I think Brian Kelly is going to be honest and say, this is a spot that you're going to compete with, just like he did with Jaden Daniels a few years ago, that said, this spot isn't yours. You're not going to come to LSU and just be a starting quarterback. You have to compete for it. And that's what Garrett Nussmeier showed in that Wisconsin game.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, he's going to be the starting quarterback at spring practice and for the spring game, and they're going to have to bring somebody else in because, right, you want competition. That's good, especially at the most important position in the game. And then, of course, we leave with the fact that Oklahoma and Texas come in. That's kind of interesting that Saban exits before Oklahoma and Texas formally join, although he didn't have a – he really could have – he got a lot of help from the officials a couple of years ago against Texas and then got beaten by Texas this year, so I don't think Satan's going to miss that. But LSU faces Oklahoma, I believe, in Tiger Stadium at the end of the season. So it's going to be a great schedule for the fans to play in Baton Rouge when you get Alabama and Oklahoma in Baton Rouge at Tiger Stadium.
I agree. I think it's going to be awesome. It will be different. I know a lot of fans were very upset about not playing Auburn anymore, reasonably so, because it is such a highly anticipated matchup each and every year. But going back to the quarterback, also to mention A.J. Swan from Vanderbilt, that's someone who I think could compete with Garrett Nussmeier. And I think this should be an exciting season, though, looking ahead. If Garrett Nussmeier is the quarterback, you have two very experienced now offensive tackles, and now it's going to be that wide receiver position. It's going to be very difficult to try to find two wide receivers as good as Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. But again, it's the defense.
We'll that,
Brian Kelly.
We got a roll, Patricia. But good stuff. We'll keep in touch. Good stuff. And I want to thank you again for joining me this evening.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me on.
inspection plans in the country. Before you pay $650 to another company, call DA. New Orleans Metro Area, North Shore and Homer. DA Exterminating. Complete pest and termite control services since 1959. Call 800-650-PEST.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related health care. Call them today at 504-821-2574.
The following is a paid endorsement.
Jeff Foster, Jeff Foster. He's a man of integrity.
Choosing your attorney can be a life-changing decision. Chip Forstall has over 28 years of experience, giving you the personal attention that you need. If you or a loved one has been injured, you need a lawyer to protect you, your family, and work to get compensation for your injuries. Contact the law office of Chip Forstall today, located at 320 North Carrollton Avenue, New Orleans, or call us at 483-3400. That's 483-3400. Or log on to www.chipforstall.com today. You need caring, aggressive, and effective representation. You need personal attention. You need Chip Forstall.
Chip Forstall. Chip Forstall. He knows the law. Chip Forstall.
Join me, BJ Rust, every Saturday night at 7 p.m. for the Something to Say radio show right here on WGSO 990 AM, New Orleans, Louisiana.